Psalm 51. Today we want to consider verses 14 and 15. David here prays, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thy my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Up until now it has been the sin that David committed with Bathsheba that has been uppermost in his mind and is laying heavily upon his heart. He has written about his sense of uncleanness, his vileness, his wickedness. He's written about his desire for cleansing. But now it appears that David's other great sin has come up before him. That crime of murder is the one that haunts him now. Here he speaks specifically about the shedding of innocent blood, for he says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation." We have a similar phrase over in Genesis. It's found in Genesis 4. And there in Genesis 4 and verse 10, "And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The word blood there in verse 10 is the same word for blood that David uses. And here we have David making reference to the blood of Uriah. And David is really saying, "The blood of Uriah cries out against me, even as the blood of Abel cried out against me." It cries out for vengeance. It cries out for judgment. And well it might, for what David did was a cowardly act. Having lain with Bathsheba, then been told by her that she was to have his child, he then plans the death of her husband. I would like you to turn, please, to 2 Samuel 11. And there in 2 Samuel 11, in verse 14, we have David planning the death of Bathsheba's husband. And it came to pass, verse 14, in the morning, that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Here's Uriah, and he carries to Joab his own death warrant, unknown to him. He has in his hand his own death warrant. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." There was nothing brave or manly or noble about David's actions. Instead, it was a cowardly act, a cowardly thing to do. And that now, as he writes this psalm, fills him with shame and guilt. It is hard to believe that the man who had bravely faced and slew Goliath had now been turned into such a coward. Surely this reminds us again of what sin will do to a man. He committed that sin with Bathsheba, and now through the plague of sin, a man who was once known for his bravery and his courage has now been turned into a coward and a murderer. This murder plot was not only cowardly, it was very costly. We've already outlined the cost of David's sin. The Lord told him that the sword would never depart out of his house. But it was costly in another way. Again, 2 Samuel. This time, chapter 11, verse 17. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David and Uriah the Hittite died also. Verse 24. And the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. David had originally planned the murder and the death of Uriah. But we find here that David is now guilty, not only of Uriah's death, but also the death of a number of his servants. His own loyal servants, along with Uriah, found themselves in the hottest part of the battle. And now it's not only the voice of Uriah's blood that cries out against David, but a whole course now cries out against David. The blood of all of those servants of his. In fact, if you look at your margin in your Bible, you will find there in Psalm 51, when David said, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness," the word blood may be rendered bloods, plural. And here's David, and he's praying that he might be delivered from blood guiltiness. He's guilty of shedding the blood of Uriah and a number of his own loyal servants. Now the blood of all those men join in chorus and call for vengeance. From the ground where those men fell, their blood cries out, "Guilty! Guilty! David the son of Jesse is guilty shedding our blood." Now David is wrecked with guilt. And so he cries, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness." It was cowardly. It was costly. It was callous. It was callous. It was a callous act. Look again in 2 Samuel 11. And verse 24. And the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. This was the word that David received by the hand of the messenger from the field of battle. And we read then David's response in verse 25. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. Don't tell Joab that what has happened, don't let it disturb him or bother him. Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thy him. Let not this thing displease thee. Again, if you look at the margin, it may be rendered, let not this thing be evil in thine eyes. Do you see what sin has done again? Because if you go to the last verse of 2 Samuel 11, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It's the same phrase, because the margin says was evil in his sight. It wasn't evil in the eyes of David. He no longer saw sin as God sees sin. He counted what he had done as not an evil thing at all. But he wasn't looking at it through the eyes of God. God said that this thing was evil. And how sin deceives us, and how the devil deceives us and have us believe that sin is really not an evil thing at all. It may be a mistake, may be a mishap, but it's not evil. It's evil in the eyes of the Lord. David had been fooled by the deceitfulness of sin, and his act was also cruel. A cruel thing to do. David didn't care about whose feelings he had hurt in his quest to have Bathsheba for his wife. And he most certainly did not care about her feelings. Because we read again in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel in verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. She had feelings towards her husband. She loved her husband, and here David came along and took her husband's life. Quite simply because he wanted her. His actions were cowardly and callous and cruel. And now all those things come home to haunt David. And now he cries out in this prayer, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding all this blood. That was his prayer. Yet David had already confessed his sin. We know that from 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord had already told him through Nathan the prophet that he had put away his sin and that he would not die because David was guilty of death. What David had done was punishable by death. But the Lord had told him, I have forgiven you. I have pardoned you. I have put away your sin. You will not die. But here's David, and he's writing this psalm after he has received forgiveness, after he has been pardoned. And what does he pray? He prays, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation. The memory of what had taken place on the battlefield that day was haunting him. He still had those feelings of guilt. You know, sometimes it is the same with us, with all of God's people. We still have feelings of guilt about those sins we have committed in the past, even though we have confessed them before God, even though we have been forgiven, even though we know we have been pardoned, even though we know those sins have been put under the blood, there's still the feeling of guilt. And our prayer perhaps has been in the past, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation. Here we have David and his complaint. The psalmist knew that he was guilty of taking another man's life, even though it was the sword of an Amorite that slew Uriah. Yet the Lord had put David at the very scene of the crime. In the eyes of God, David was standing there with a sword stained with the blood of Uriah. That's how God saw David. And now David knows that. For the Lord said to him, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 9. David knows he's guilty and he knows what he deserves. He knows the punishment he deserves. He knows he should be put to death for his crime. For Numbers 35, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And David stands with that instrument of iron in his hand, stained with the blood of Uriah. Here's David's problem. Blood guiltiness. David's problem had to do with blood guiltiness, and he wants to be delivered from it. David was guilty and he knew that he deserved to be punished. But the Lord had told him, I put away your sin, thou shalt not die. But still, there's this feeling of blood guiltiness. Here's his fault. The Lord, of course, heard the prayer of the penitent and had put away his sin and delivered him. You know, dear child of God, I'm sure, when God was dealing with us, when we were still in our sin, we were brought to realize that we also were guilty. We know all about that feeling of guilt. Knowing that we were guilty even of a greater crime than David committed. David slew Uriah. David was the cause of his servants being slain also. And yet, dear child of God, you and I were guilty of an even greater crime. And the day that God saved us, we were brought to realize that. For we were brought to realize that we were guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were brought to realize that it was our sins that had put Christ on the cross. And oh, the guilt. Oh, the conviction that took hold upon us when we realized it was our sins that had nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And the judge of all the earth that night, in as many words, it said to us, "How do you plead?" There was only one thing we could say, and there was only one answer to that. "Lord, I am guilty. I am guilty of nailing thy son to the tree." And we knelt at the cross, and our prayer was, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thy God of my salvation." And we blessed the Lord that before we got up of our knees, we heard those words, "The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." And we knew that even though we were guilty, we would not die. Why? Because that night we were brought to realize another had died in our place. And another had borne the punishment that we deserved. Another had taken the place of the guilty. Isn't that what they said at a so-called trial? Did they not say, "He is guilty of death"? They said Christ was guilty of death, and there he stood in the place of the guilty. He stood in our place. He stood in our place, he paid our price, and he bore our punishment. "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." And that night, at that hour of our salvation, we were brought to realize that Christ took our place. He stood in the place of the guilty. But David here is not only speaking about his fault, he's speaking about his feelings. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness." Even though his sin had been put away and the Lord said he would not die, yet David still felt his guilt. Have you ever felt guilt over past sins? Ever felt guilty about those sins of a bygone day? Have you ever felt guilty about those wasted years, those wasted opportunities, those follies? And that guilt still haunts us today. Even though our sin has been dealt with, even though our sin has been put under the blood, yet I know people, I know professing believers, and they beat themselves. They beat themselves with guilt. But why? Why would we dwell on those things of the past? Why give the devil an opportunity to remind us of those sins? Why do we want to remember what God has forgotten? Why do we want to hammer and beat ourselves with our sins and our failures? The Lord has saved us, not to lead us into defeat, but glory to His name, to lead us on into victory. We ought to be living as victorious believers. Listen, those sins that have often caused you to feel guilty, those sins are under the blood. Those sins have been put behind God's back. Those sins have been cast into the sea of His forgetfulness. It's not a time to feel guilty. It's a time to rejoice that the Lord has put away your sins. And thou shalt not die, because He has given to you the gift of eternal life. This is what David prayed about, deliverance. Deliverance from this feeling of guilt, that he might sing aloud and give glory and praise to God. It was this problem, this feeling of guilt. And then you have this prayer. Once more, the psalmist sees that prayer was the answer to his problems. And here he prays, deliver me from blood guiltiness. It's interesting, the word deliver means to pluck out of the hand of an enemy or an oppressor. To be delivered out of the hand of the oppressor. It means also, or has reference to the bursting of chains, the breaking of bonds. Giving liberty and freedom to someone, delivering them. This is the word David employs here. And does this not teach us then that David was in bonds to his past sins? He was in bondage. Isn't that what he says? Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall then sing. He's in bondage. Guilt for David, in many ways in the past, was like a friend to David, because it led him to repentance. But now that same guilt has become an enemy. Brought him into bondage. Oppresses him. So much so that it had tied his tongue, preventing him from singing aloud of God's righteousness. He was in bondage. And how the devil wants God's people to be in bondage. That's why he'll come and remind us again and again and again of past sins. He's a past master at that. And yet, are our sins not put away? Of course they are. Have our sins not been put beneath the blood? Yes, they have. So why are we in bondage then? The Lord has set us free. Him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Has He not given to us His righteousness? Has He not imputed to us His righteousness? Do we not stand before God today clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if God no longer sees us as guilty, then why do we look upon ourselves as being guilty? God doesn't see us that way. God sees us in Jesus Christ. God sees us as He sees His own Son. And so, dear believer, when the devil comes And in the words of the hymn writer, what though the accuser roar of evils I have done? How often he roars, and how loudly he roars. Of evils we have done, we know them all. Thousands more, but glory to God, Jehovah findeth none. Findeth none. So David prayed, Lord, deliver me from blood guiltiness. It was problem in his prayer then, the person. David prayed, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation. Isn't it interesting that David chooses to address God in this way at this time? The God of my salvation. David knew that he was a saved man. God had saved him. He's the God of his salvation. And is David here not saying, Lord, thou hast put away my sin. Now, Lord, put away my feeling of guilt. Thou hast dealt with my sin. Lord, now deal with my guilt. That's what goes on in the mind. That's what goes on in the heart. It leaves us so miserable when we think about our sins. And yet Paul, in Philippians 4, and verse 4 said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. The word keep there is a word that's used to describe the work of someone who's standing on sentry duty. The word means to garrison. To garrison. I'll garrison your mind. Paul says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall garrison your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And how the devil will attack our minds, bring us into bondage, because we feel so guilty about what we have done. Yet our sins are under the blood. We stand complete in Him. We are seen in Christ by the eye of God, and the Lord has promised to keep our minds garrison, keep them at peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is David in his complaint? Is David in his claim? Here David claims that if he is delivered from blood guiltiness, then he said, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. His sense of guilt had left him tongue-tied, if you like, so that he couldn't speak or sing about the righteousness of his God. Here he speaks about, first of all, about his tongue. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. The tongue, James says, is that little member. That little member that can be so easily used for good or evil. When it's used for evil, James says, the tongue is set on fire of hell. James says man can tame all kinds of animals, but man has difficulty in taming the tongue. David's sense of guilt had prevented him from using that tongue for good, namely praising the God of his salvation. And so he prays for the removal of the hindrance. He prays for the removal of that impediment that prevented him, that hindered him from giving thanks to God. Was a sense of guilt that tied David's tongue. It was unbelief that had tied the tongue of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. It was unbelief that tied his tongue. And what did he do when the tongue was loosed? We read in Luke 1, verse 64, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God." First thing he did when the Lord loosed his tongue, he spake and he praised God. What is it that has tied our tongues? What is it that prevents us from singing aloud of his righteousness? For it is the most natural thing for a redeemed soul to do, and that is to praise God. It's the natural thing to do. When he wrote Psalm 119, David said, "Seven times a day do I praise thee, because of thy righteous judgments." Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee. But because of his sin, he was unable to praise God. And that's what he's praying about. Deliver me from this bondage. Lord, set me free that I may praise thee 7 times, yea, 7 times 70 again. It's true, isn't it? We can go through a whole day and not praise the Lord once. Sometimes we cannot praise Him even once in the day. When the man at the beautiful gate was healed by the power of Christ, how did he respond? "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." It's a natural thing for him to do. And dear child of God, when we look upon what the Lord has done for us, when we view the Savior and all that He has done for us, what else can we do but praise His holy name? Over in Luke 19, we read there in verse 37, "And when He was come nigh," the Lord Jesus, "even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice." Why? "For all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. All the mighty works they had seen Christ do. They burst into song. They sang aloud. Oh, believe, let us sing aloud. If we have difficulty, if there's an impediment there in preventing us from giving glory to God and giving praise to the Lord Jesus, then look upon all that He has done. Look afresh on all that He has done for you. And sing aloud of His righteousness. We have not only His tongue, but His triumph. Here David is ready to sing that note of triumph, for he claims that he will sing aloud. He's not going to whisper the praise of God. He's going to sing aloud. Here's the note of triumph David wants to strike. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud. There's his triumph. This is where he wants to get to. He wants to get into victory. He wants to get to the place of triumph and victory over his sin. And the soul that is in victory will sing aloud of the righteousness of God. You've heard, I'm sure, of W.P. Nicholson, great Presbyterian preacher and evangelist. He did things in his life and ministry that, well, other ministers, if they did it, they most certainly wouldn't get away with it. But Nicholson was in a meeting one Sabbath day. He was a member of the congregation. And they were singing the 23rd Psalm. And Nicholson was singing at the top of his voice, as loud as he could sing. He was rejoicing in the Lord. And at the end of every verse, there was a woman three or four rows in front of him. At the end of every verse, she would turn round and look at him with a look of disdain. And Nicholson went on singing just as loud as ever. And she would do this at the end of every verse. And Nicholson said, when we get to the end of verse 5, I'll show her. And they got to the end of verse 5, and sure enough, she looked round again and frowned at Nicholson. And Nicholson just stood and stuck his tongue out at her. And that put an end to her looking around at him. He was singing aloud. Why? Because he was in victory. He was rejoicing in Jesus Christ, his Savior. I tell you, if you sing aloud here, there'll be nobody turn round and look at you with disdain. Just sing aloud. Sing of the glory of God. Sing of the goodness of Jesus Christ. We can sing this great song as loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have every right to sing and shout. And that's what David wanted. He wanted to get to the place of victory. He wanted to get out of bondage. Get into triumph. He says, Lord, as thou dost deliver me from this blood guiltiness, this awful feeling of guilt, then my tongue shall sing aloud. He'll be liberated. He'll be set free. And his theme? What would the theme of this song be? David says, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Does this not remind us again of justification? There's David, and he's pleading for deliverance from blood guiltiness. And what does he want to sing about? The righteousness of God. And this reminds us again, believer, of our justification. We've been justified. We've been declared righteous in the eyes of God. Justified, just as if we had never sinned. That's good reason for singing aloud, for rejoicing in God our Savior. The theme of this song, I will sing aloud of thy righteousness. And oh, dear child of God, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Paul referred to Christ as the King of righteousness. And he's our King and he's our righteousness. And he is our song. He's the theme of our song. We sing of Jesus Christ. May Christ always be the theme of our song. Christ, our righteousness. And finally and quickly, we have David and his certainty. For he says in verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He was certain of that. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said, penitents ought to be preachers. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, if we have through faith in Christ received the righteousness and grace of God, we can do no greater work than speak and declare the truth of Christ. And all today who have received grace and righteousness, we can do no greater work than sing aloud of our God, open our mouth and show forth his praise. You have his request, O Lord, open thou my Nothing so effectually closes the mouth as a just sense of our sin. Like the man who went to the wedding feast without the wedding garment, and when he was challenged, it says he was speechless. He had nothing to say. David makes this request. Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, spoke about his lips being touched with a live coal from off the altar. And when he received the touch of the live coal upon his lips, he was ready to speak about his Lord. For when the Lord said, who shall go for us and who shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. I'm ready to go now to tell others about what the Lord has done for me. And his resolve, David promises the Lord, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. The soul that's released from guilt and wrath and shame cannot help but publish abroad the goodness of God. And the report, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. The words there, show forth, may be rendered report. I'm going to report. I'm going to tell others what the Lord has done for me. I'm going to tell others what God has done for me. I'm going to give the report. That's what the testimony is, isn't it? Reporting, telling others about what God and Christ have done for us. Oh, may the Lord touch our lips. May he loose our tongues. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. May the Lord enable us and help us to do so.